Praise the Lord. Awesome. We are all called to lead. I'm not a type A personality, am I?
A-plus, brother.
A-plus. A-plus. But you know what? We're all called to be leaders. The first person that we're called to lead is you. If you can't lead yourself, don't expect to lead others. If we live for God so richly and abundantly in our lives, then we will actually be submitting under His leadership to lead us so we can learn how to lead. I can't remember the expression she said completely, but it was something along the lines that you have to follow or be a leader to somebody before you're going to be a leader. So many people want to lead before they're willing to submit to leadership. And I just want to tell you, it's kind of like being in Canada and speeding nonstop and saying, well, I want to change the law, so I'm going to just speed nonstop. It's going to cost you a lot of money. You're going to pay a lot of tickets. It's not how you go about learning how the process of changing laws goes. And a lot of people want to change the church. And I hear it all the time on social media and stuff. You know, we have to change the church. We have to change the old model. We have to change. Well, what is the old model? It's a model that you don't like, okay? But it could be a new model for somebody else. If we're in a charismatic setting, a Pentecostal movement, and you come out of a staunch traditional movement, old Pentecostalism is a new model for you. So why would we want to change the model if the model is good for people? It just might not be your model, but then that's totally fine. Let's build the model that God's called us to build. And let's be leaders internally first. We have to lead our own life. A lot of people come, you know, and over the conferences and the areas that I minister with so many pastors and leaders around the world, and they'll say, you know, or the disgruntled ones will come and they'll say, you know, hey, you know, I'm called to lead, but no one's letting me lead. And I'm like, well, who are you a part of? Nobody. What do you mean? Well, I follow God, God alone. Well, aren't you submitted to anybody? Do you have a leadership with you at all? No, because they won't listen to me. That's right. You just said your own answer. They won't listen to you. But you know what? They're not supposed to listen to you. Hey, that sounded bad. They're supposed to listen to God and support you in your calling. But how many of you know, like in script, this is not in my message, but my daughter got me going. It's in scripture, they use the family model throughout scripture to show and explain what the body of Christ should be like. And constantly throughout scripture, it's a family model. And so I always like to tell people, you know, if who is your mothers and fathers? Like who is spiritually pouring into you, but not pouring in the way you want, but pouring in what's best for you? Because a 2-year-old child wants a 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7-year-old, 8, 9, 10-year-old, 11, 12-year-old, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old, 17, 18, 19-year-old kids all want something different. But how many of us know that it's a parent's responsibility to actually do what's going to empower them into the fulfillment of a pattern for their lifetime? And so that's what I really believe, that, you know, if we're going to change the model of church, absolutely. I believe the church has changed. It should be changing every day, every week, every year. It's not a new concept to change the church. Jesus came and changed the church. He came as a declaration to change the church. That's what he came. He took old covenant, put it beside, and brought in new covenant. He nullified old covenant. Because he nullified old covenant, he brought in new covenant. And his new covenant was a constantly growing bride. The old covenant was a structure of laws that never changed. They were literally a structure of laws to bring you into the presence. But Jesus brought a never-ending, changing new covenant. Not the fundamental structures. The Word of God isn't what's changing. What's changing is the bride of Christ is changing. It's becoming more spotless. It's becoming wrinkle-free. That's what we're called to do. And she had no idea that what the Lord laid on my heart to share today had to do with the change within ourselves. And where does it start? So I love it. God's working. Amen. So I wanted to talk about the pursuit of excellence, because a lot of people are scared of pursuing excellence because they've been ridiculed, slammed, told they're full of pride. And then other people pursue excellence, but in their understanding, it's the excellence of the world's view and not the biblical view. And so I want to talk about this morning excellence in world's view and in biblical view. Amen? So the pursuit of excellence helps us discover our destiny. Before anyone wants to be a leader, before anyone wants to be something here, you need to pursue something now, here, before you're going to get here. You have a vision and a passion to be this, then that should automatically open up a passion inside of us that begins us a pursuit of the excellence of what God's called us into. We must set high standards in our lives. That's one of the ways we pursue, is high standards in our lives. You know what? I set standards, and I pray they're high because they're biblical standards in my life. And there's certain lines I refuse to cross because they're not my standard of a Christian lifestyle. And I'm not willing to flex on the standards. I'm willing to shift and change. I'm willing to encourage people, but I won't flex on the standards of the Bible. It doesn't matter what country I'm in. I've been in 39 or 8 countries now ministering, and I see many different diversities. But no matter what country, especially Canada and America, I'm not going to flex my values off of the Word of God because it's status quo. Let me just say, we're not adding another bathroom, if you understand what I'm talking about. We have a man and a woman, and that's what we have. And I thank the Lord that's what we have. I love all peoples. Doesn't matter where their lifestyle is. Does not matter what they've done. Does not matter what sin, what good, anything of their lifestyle. I love them because God loves me first. And because of His love in me, has helped me to love peoples, no matter what race, no matter what religion they are. But it doesn't mean that I'll change my boundaries and my standards for someone else's religion or someone else's belief structure. I am a Christian. Christ has set me free. Christian means Christ follower. I follow Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And this manual is my manual. If it's not in my manual, then it can't be in me. Am I perfect? Not yet. But I'm working towards it. I'm working. Why? Because I'm setting higher goals than I had yesterday. We have to set our goals high. Excellent needs to be in all we do and all we say. Let's spend time this morning. I want to consider the pursuit of excellence in our daily lives. The word excellence in the Oxford Dictionary is this: excellence, the quality of being outstanding or extremely good. The word excel is defined as to do or be better than or to surpass. Excellence from the viewpoint of the world is defined in terms of competition. It's competition of surpassing others. You're excellent. If you want to be excellent, then you become better than everybody else. That's the world's terminology. And it's usually for your own self-glory. Usually you drive yourself to be better than somebody else, and that's the world view of excellence. The problem is with that, you border on the level of actually damaging the people that you're trying to be better to. Or that you have the possibility of stepping into pride that you accomplished this and not God in your life. From a worldly perspective, the words excel, surpass, exceed, transcend, outdo all suggest the concept of going beyond a specific limit or standard of others. To excel is to perform at a level higher than others. This is all the world terminology. To surpass is to be superior in performance, quality, or degree than others. Exceed can refer to being superior in quality, ingenuity, or quantity, or to progress beyond a defined limit. To transcend implies the attainment of a level so high that comparison is hardly possible. To outdo is to excel in doing or performing. The pursuit of excellence from a biblical perspective is very different. It's very different from the world's view. And I want to use scripture this morning to talk about the biblical perspective of excellence. It's not performance driven. It's not to make your name higher. It's not to get a position. in ministry or something else. It's not that. That's not the biblical reason of excellence. The biblical perspective of excellence is a virtue. It's a virtue. It's a virtue that is chosen by us. It's given by God, chosen by us. We as disciples of Jesus should pursue excellence at all times. Whether we're washing dishes at home or washing windows. Anybody wash windows for a living? Well, praise the Lord if you do. Do it with excellence. You know that little streak? Just clean it. Even if you don't think anyone's going to see it, just clean it anyways.
Yeah, but I'm on the 58th floor. No one's going to see it.
Clean it. Do it with excellence. Do everything that you do with excellence. Whether you are running a business or running a small group, a home group, a life group, do it with excellence. If you do it with excellence, we're going to see how it opens up the levels of God's glory and His presence, His favor and His blessings into our lives. If you're driving a car, do it with excellence, because a lot out there aren't. If you're hitting a golf ball, do it with excellence. Whatever you do, do it with excellence for the glory of God. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Wow. When I eat, I get to eat to the glory of God. I thought it was filling my belly. I get to thank the Lord every time I eat that I have food to eat. I have been in so many nations where I've held babies that have literally starved to death days after I held them. I tell you what, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to live in joy and excitement and happiness. But we can get all wrapped up in what the Joneses have down the road. That's an expression, not the Jones family, but you know, the Joneses or the Smiths. We can get all wrapped in what they have and get so bitter internally that we actually lose the favor of what God has given to us. It is not a competition, the excellence. You don't have to have a better manicured yard than your neighbor. A better looking garden, a better looking grass, a better looking car, a better looking family. You don't have to have that. If you live that way, then your kids will live that way, because they're going to learn the family environment. And there'll always be a hidden competition. Now, I have to admit, I'm a competitive type person. And every time I'm out sailing a sailboat on the water, I'm pretty much competing with every other sailboat. Now, they don't know it. But I'm beating them no matter what. I used to always say it fine-tunes my sailing skills. They're all having fun and I'm in competition mode. They're relaxing on autopilot, and I'm like trimming and grinding and making sure everything is right to get that boat as fast as possible. I'm not talking about competitive. I'm talking about the spirit of excellence in our lives. Whatever we do it for the glory of God. Can you imagine how you would do something different if God was there with you? How would you do it? Would you change the way you do it? Would something shift in your mindset? But it's very clear that scripture of 1 Corinthians 10, 34, 31 again says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. In other words, all will celebrate Him, because He has provided and given this to you, and He has provided your ability to actually make the food that you've eaten. Now, it might not mean you went to the restaurant and made it, but you made the money to pay for your food. Colossians 3:23 and 24. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily. That word heartily is willingly. Do it willingly as to the Lord and not to men. Verse 24. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord of Christ. Now, the Lord Christ. Now, hang on. Let's read verse 23 again. Colossians 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it willingly. Do it with excitement. Willingly. I'm happy to be doing this. I'm willingly desiring to do this. I'm heartily excited about this. When you do things with that attitude to the Lord and not to men, it's to the Lord you're doing this. In that, the men and women around you get the benefit and the blessing of you actually living a lifestyle of us, living a lifestyle of excellence. And because we move into that understanding and that mindset shift and change, then verse 24 pops up, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Well, what's the inheritance? That word inheritance is really what you and I get by living a lifestyle of excellence in His presence. It's the unwavering understanding of His love, His passion, His grace, His favor, His blessings. It all pour out by living a lifestyle of excellence. You know what? When I go to my job, I do the best I can. I come up and preach, I'm going to try to do the best I can for that day. And oh, yeah, sure, you know, afterwards, you know, your mind processes, man, I just felt like I wasn't quite hitting it today. I felt a little bit off, you know. And then someone comes up to you, man, that's the best message I've ever heard you preach. And then I start thinking, well, shucks, man, that means all the others weren't that good. You see how the mind starts to play? It's a ridiculous thing. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, sometimes you look in the mirror. If you don't feel yourself as beautiful, then you don't understand the level of biblical excellence. If you don't feel yourself as accomplishing great things, then you don't understand the biblical perspective of the term excellence. This is basic Christian theology. Christian theology. Live a life of excellence. This is a foundational part of our faith in our daily walk as sons and daughters of God. This is a theology truth that should touch every aspect of our lives. Because when you live with a lifestyle of excellence, there's a happiness and a joy that automatically comes with the choice of choosing the virtue of excellence. This truth of lives of excellence is essential to us living the life that Jesus has called us and saved us to be. He didn't call us and die on the cross and rise again and save us to be insignificant. He didn't die on the cross and rise again to live a life with no excellence in you. No, that's not what He did. In all things, we as Christians, we as followers of Jesus, we as those who have repented from our sins and accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are to pursue excellence for the glory of God. Aristotle, the ancient Greek philosopher and scientist, put it this way: we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. Listen, we are what we repeatedly do. You repeatedly live in depression, there you go. You repeatedly live in frustration, there you go. Repeatedly live in negativity, repeatedly live in addictions that are false, repeatedly live in these kind of patterns. Or we could even go to some of the anti-Christian movements out there right now. And they've gotten in a lifestyle repeatedly in a habit to where they've become excellent at that false lifestyle. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but a habit. It becomes a habit. It's a good habit to have. We must realize that the pursuit of excellence is a direction. It's not a destination. So often, how you know where your heart is when you're pursuing excellence in your life is if you're looking at a destination, then you know it's the wrong excellence. If excellence is actually a direction, it's a direction led, an excellence of God is a direction led by God to the destination that He chooses you to be in, and you'll be the best you can be in that destination. But so many of us practice to be excellent for a destination without having the direction. We have to have the direction in our hearts and in our lives of excellence. That brings us to the destination, but it can't be the other way around. Otherwise, we'll spend a lot of effort, a lot of time, sometimes a lot of money to get to the destination of what we want, and we won't have the character of excellence to sustain the destination. And when you don't have the character of excellence to sustain the destination, you will not succeed in the destination. So out of God's grace and out of God's love for you and His glory for us, He holds us back from the destination till we can learn the attitude of excellence in the pathway towards the destination He's called us to. The pursuit of excellence is something we must continue to do until we're all called from glory to glory. It never ends. It's a virtue. It's a choice in our heart, in our life. You never accomplish excellence. The excellence I'm talking about biblically is the more you become like Him, the more you increase in His presence and His glory, the more excellent you become in His understanding. And in His understanding doesn't have to be the understanding of the world, because some of the most excellent Christian people are ones that just quietly pray. You know, these mamas, these mothers in the spirit that have just interceded their whole life but literally changed total movements and cities out of prayer quietly, but yet you don't know their name. But God does. He sees them excellent in what they're doing. Excellent means being your best. Doesn't mean being the best. Listen. Excellence biblically means being your best. It's not a competition. It's not being better than someone else. You want to be a better preacher than somebody else? You're looking at world excellence, not biblical excellence. Excellence means being better tomorrow than you were yesterday. I get to wake up every morning and say, God, I'm aiming to be better today than I was yesterday. Oh, you're prideful, man. No, you don't understand. If I'm prideful, I'm in pride with Him, with God my Father, and I'm proud to be a Christian. And I'm proud to be an excellent Christian. Oh, that sounded pretty conceited. You know what? When you live in excellence, you're actually not looking to defeat someone else's understanding of excellence. You're actually looking to help them excel. You're not always looking for the wrongs, you're looking at the rights. You know how easy it is to hear a story and you hear 5% of someone's wrong and you forget 95% of all they did right. What kind of excellence is that? Where did we get that biblically?
Well, we're to judge.
No, we're not to judge. He's the judge.
Well, we're to correct.
You know, you're exactly right. And when you live in an excellent lifestyle, then you will have the open door to help somebody else who sees you in that role. But if they don't see you in the role, I said a couple Sundays ago, it's like trying to make a horse drink water. It doesn't work. I learned from experience. My horse knocked me like, must have been 10 feet when I was trying to put his nose in the water to drink. I knew he needed to drink. He had to drink because we were rounding up cattle. I was 15 years old, a ranch hand on a farm, and we used actually horses to round up the cows. What a novel idea. Does that make me a cowboy? Wow, I should get some boots and a hat. Woo, woo, woo. When we have a lifestyle that people are hungry for, they actually let you speak into their lives. But if they're battling truth and they want their own way and they don't want truth because they know truth but they've chosen not to follow truth, I will guarantee you if you're a truth lifestyle, you probably don't have a voice into their life at that moment. So in some ways, it's probably best not to try. Love on them, encourage them, strengthen them, pray for them. But sometimes you just can't convince people. Because that's not our duty. We as a church, we're family. My duty, my job and role, one of my roles here is to actually teach. It's not to heal you all. It's not to raise you from the dead, although if you die right now, I'm sure going to try. If you're sick, I want to pray. Our duty is to teach. It's to raise up people, to encourage people through the Word of God. through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the presence of God, because I know that my Bible says the truth sets us free. And so if there's anything anyone needs, if you're feeling in bondage, you're feeling down, you're feeling depressed, it is the truth, because the truth will set us free. We are to be the best we can be as we daily serve our Lord. Every day we wake up serving God. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, every day we wake up serving God. I will guarantee you, let's say you're married or you're in a family or there's people in the house with you. I will guarantee you that when you wake up, your attitude will make or break the beginning of that day with everybody around you. Does that make sense? I tell you what, when someone wakes up grumpy and angry and mad and everything else, I don't even want to be near them. I get your coffee, get your orange juice, get your pancake, whatever you need, get it. But really, if you're relying on that to make you happy, then you need Jesus Christ stronger in your life, because we need to rely on Him. Unless you drink Starbucks, you could have a Starbucks, that's okay, but I got to be careful here what I say, but we shouldn't rely on something to make us happy. We need to rely on God to make us happy. If it's something else that has to draw, I know it's always fun. We always say, yo, I need my coffee. You know, we're joking half the time. Well, actually, a lot of people aren't joking. I want to say, and I will say just because I'm bold, then we have the wrong addiction. Ooh. I drink coffee. Not a lot. I maybe 3 cups a week. Is that a lot? Well, but there's Starbucks, like venti iced coffee, so that's like 3 cups in one, right? So, but I sip on it all day. But you know, the reality is we need to be addicted to Christ. We need to be addicted to God. Coffee's not bad, it's not sinful. TV's not bad, it's not, there's a lot of sin in TV, and there's some forms of coffee that I think are sinful, like Tim Hortons, but that's besides the point. But you know, it's not bad to drink coffee. It's not what I'm saying. Please, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, find the joy of the Lord. He's your strength, and He'll actually make your coffee taste better, even if it's a Timmy's. I like Timmy's donuts. Who doesn't like Timmy's donuts? We need to pray for you. I'm just kidding. So we need to be the best we can be daily as we serve our Lord. We're called to seek His will and purpose. We are called to be people God has called us to be. How much do we love God? How much do we really love God? Well, let's be thankful for what God has done. One of the simple answers is, well, how much has God done for us? Well, He's done amazing things. One is simple, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That should bring us joy, not just for salvation. That should bring us joy every single day of our lives. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we're still sinners, He died for us because He knew your destiny was bigger than any stronghold that you could ever have in your life. God showed His love for us. He has expressed His love for us. How do we express our love to God? I believe that the pursuit of excellence in our daily lives is a huge part of our expression of love for God. We always think, well, we express our love by doing something. We express our love by giving money somewhere, helping the poor, helping the widow, helping this, helping that. All good biblical things, absolutely. But I believe the true aspect, one of the main points that God wants to see us expressing our love to Him, is by pursuing a life of excellence. See, Jesus did a life of excellence. He was the best of the best. He even admitted that He is the Messiah, the Son of God, in a roundabout way, because He said, the only one who told you this would have been from my Father. So He's walking now in these parts of ministry in His later years where He actually is fully aware. I don't know when that transpired, but He is fully aware He is the Messiah. That's a pretty big call. Can you imagine walking knowing you're the Messiah? It's amazing. But yet he walked the perfect lifestyle. He walked a life of excellence. In everything He did, it was excellent. He took fish and loaves of bread and fed 5,000. He just calmed the seas and the storms. He didn't boast about it. He just was a lifestyle of excellence.
Listen to the words of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 4. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Oh, oh.
Is that what it says? He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is performed in him. By this, we know that we are in him. Verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk Jesus as he walked. You see, following God's commands, God's precepts, God's will and purposes in our lives is an expression of our love for him. When we follow his commands, his will in our lives, his direction, what he has called us into, we are actually telling him how much we love him. So the pursuit of excellence refers to pursuing and doing the best we can with the gifts and abilities that God has given to us. It doesn't mean you're better than somebody else. It means that you're pursuing to the best of our abilities the gifts and purposes that God has given to you. How many of you believe God has given you special gifts? Put your hand up. Anyone whose hand's not up, nudge them on the shoulder and say, no, you should have your hand up because you have special gifts. How many of you believe you have a special purpose in life? Some of your special purposes is have the preacher quit so you can go have lunch. No, I'm just kidding. We all have special gifts. We all have special purposes in our lives. When you're feeling down and depressed, start thinking of your gifts and your purposes and start living the lifestyle of excellence in them. It will take your depression away. It will bring sunshine into the house on a rainy day. It will change the atmosphere around you. The pursuit of excellence is giving our best to the glory of God. Living our lives the way Jesus wants us to is a lifestyle of excellence. Excellence is more about becoming sons than being something. Excellence is more about becoming sons and daughters than being in a position. Because again, if you're in a position of authority, a position of leadership, but you don't have excellence, you will constantly be contending for the right of that position. If you understand the lifestyle of excellence, you're no longer contending for your position. God has placed you there by his favor and not by your own. By your choice of living a virtuous life of excellence, he places you in the positions. And you don't have to battle for them. You don't have to fight for them. You don't have to even contend for them anymore. They just happen. It just happens. And you get to raise up people. I'm talking the business world. I'm talking in job. I'm talking in homes. I'm talking lifestyles and ministry. Now, all of this, it's the same perspective. It doesn't matter if you're in ministry in a church or you're in a missionary or you're in business in the corporate world or you're a mother or a father or a son and daughter in the home. The lifestyle of excellence applies to it all. And what it brings is it automatically brings favor of the Lord upon you because you're showing how much you love the Father. And he gets to express his love to you with a foundation of excellence that's able to support the favor he gives us. Excellence is a way of life that needs to be at the center of how we live our lives. The pursuit of excellence has a cost that some are not willing to pay. The pursuit of excellence may require sacrifice, but excellence always will require commitment. Did you hear that? Pursuit of excellence many times has a cost. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. Something in you will sacrifice for the pursuit of excellence. But excellence will always require commitment. It requires commitment. I want to talk, you know, an excellent marriage. You can have a marriage that looks great on the outside, but how many of you know sometimes it's not so good on the inside? And so it might appear excellent, but deep internally, it's not. That's because the appearance is for man. And we think for God, but it doesn't work that way.
God knows our everything. An excellent marriage is not what it looks like on the outside. It is a commitment to love each other, and that changes the outside. You see, it's a commitment to have excellence. I chose to try to have excellence and work at having excellence in my life. You can hear my old religious background. I had to say I try to have. I actually chose excellence in my life. I'm trying to go against the criticism of being, oh, you're prideful or stuck on yourself. No, I chose to be excellent in my life. I chose that when I go to work, I'm going to work 110, 120%. All my life, I have chosen that whatever I put my mind to, I'm going to do the best I possibly can at it. Whether it's a sport, doesn't matter. I'm going to do the best I can. You know what? When I got married, I chose to be an excellent husband. Ends up, I turned out to be the perfect husband. But I chose excellence anyway. I'm just kidding. I'm joking, please. Please, I'm joking. I chose to be an excellent husband. When my first daughter was born, my son's born, my daughter's born, my new son is born into our family. I chose to try in my heart. I chose to be an excellent father. Do I succeed at it? I don't know all the time. But I still had to make a choice because I knew that my excellence with God will give me the ability to be a father. But without my excellence with God, it's hard to be that spiritual father input in not only your own family, but into the whole ministry. We have to choose people. You hear what I'm trying to say, right? We have to choose excellence in our life. If we don't, then we're going to be doing the same mundane thing, the same thing over and over. You're going to feel less and less close to God. Or you're just going to say, you know what? I just know I'm committed and that's all I need to be. That's not a lifestyle of excellence. I look at sports people. I look at how much training goes on. I look at people in CEO and corporate positions that are actually really excelling. Do you realize what they have gone through and been a part of to excel in their field? Whether it's a sport, how do you get better at a sport? You practice, and you practice, and you practice. Humanly speaking, excellence may be difficult to achieve, but that should not stop us from trying. When we ask God, God will help us, period. That's the reality. The Holy Spirit can work in us and through us to change and transform our lives. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. I'm going to read these quickly. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That word abounding is parousio. It means to super abound, be in excess, be the better, exceed, excel, increase. So what he's saying here, Paul's saying is, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. In other words, be strong. Don't let the world sway you. Don't let the winds and waves of doctrine sway you. Always be super abounding. To live in excess, to be better than you ever were before. But it's never competition with somebody else. To exceed in all that you do. To excel in all that you do. To increase in all that you do in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is never useless. It is never put to the wayside. It is never unnoticed in the Lord. Pursuing excellence should not be limited to the nature of a task. Nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. It's like, to go to your job and do excellence in your job. Have a lifestyle of excellence already, and your job will be excellent. You understand what I'm saying? You can come, you can be a worshiper, you can be a preacher, you can be a greeter, you can be a children's ministry worker, you can be whatever you're called to be in the church. If you look to be the best children's ministry leader, it's the wrong focus. If you look to be the best musician, it's the wrong focus. If you look to be the best preacher, it's the wrong focus. That's a worldly perspective building competition. The reality is you look to be the best lover of God, the most excellent lover in Him, in His presence. And you'll start to see the life of excellence in all that you do. Amen? have a little piano up here. The pursuit of excellence is in line with the biblical goal of spiritual growth. So excellence is in line with spiritual growth and greater levels of spiritual maturity. You want to be mature and have greater growth spiritually? Pursue the life of excellence. Many scriptures in the Bible command us to abound and excel in Christian character, especially in ways we can express our love for God and our love for one another. Spiritual maturity is driven by your character that progresses with the pursuit of excellence. That's spiritual maturity. If we choose not to pursue excellence, then we're choosing a mediocre Christian life. If we choose not to pursue excellence, then we are choosing a bland Christian life. If we choose not to pursue excellence, then we're choosing a vanilla ice cream lifestyle, which just melts if you don't eat it very fast. We're not called to be lukewarm. We're called to live lives of excellence. Lives of excellence are on fire for God. They are advancing and moving forward. You don't have to be on fire in the eyes of man. You just have to be on fire in your intimacy with God. God wants us, wants his people to excel in both what we are, which is our inward character, and what we do, which is our behavior and our deeds. Look at it, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, do it well. For there is no work or device of knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. In other words, you can't take it with you. Do the best that you can now. The preacher of Ecclesiastes here is teaching us that apart from faith in God and living one's life for him, life is empty and futile. Life is full of opportunities and there is much to be done before we breathe our last breath on this earth. Philippians 1, verses 9 to 11. Philippians 1, starting in verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. These strengths that God has given you, the abilities that God has given you, the spiritual gifts that God has given you, are to bring glory, honor, and praise to him. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12 to 13. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Imagine that. That the Lord will make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish in your hearts blameless in holiness before our God. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, the very next verse. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound, that word abound, exceed more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. And 38, Matthew 22, 37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. Do you remember one of the scriptures we talked about earlier? Follow the commands of God for a lifestyle of excellence. Let's stand. If we truly love God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind, then we must seek to do our best. It's the pursuit of excellence. Biblical excellence always encourages others into their destinies. When we live lives of biblical excellence, it always encourages others into their destinies. If you're a mother, live a lifestyle of excellence. If you're a father, live a lifestyle of excellence. If you're a son or daughter, live a lifestyle of excellence. That pretty much has spoken to every one of us. Because you're either a son or a daughter at one point, a mother or father. God's calling us into something that's going to take us beyond what we have been. If we're not moving past what we were, then we need to look at how's the excellent lifestyle of a Christian doing in us? How are we doing today? And you know what? It's one of the answers to addictions, to sin, to issues, to problems. Because many times addictions or sin in our lives, repeated sins, the reason they're there is because we're not living a lifestyle of excellence. And so we have this lonely, this hole that's needing, looking to be filled. I tell you what, I know the answer of your filling. And it's Him. It's Him. You don't need any drug. You don't need any alcohol. You don't need any booze. You don't need any issues of sin in your life. You really don't need those. Because God's calling us into the lifestyle of excellence. Love Him unconditionally and be filled with the power of the Spirit. John Newton is the author of the hymn Amazing Grace. How many of you heard the song Amazing Grace? And he said, this is a quote from John Newton, "I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I will be. But thank God, I am not what I used to be. Thank God I am not what I used to be. I haven't reached it all yet, but thank God I'm not what I used to be." That one statement gives us the opportunity to have the joy of the Lord as our strength. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. Father, I pray this morning. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not what I used to be. I thank you, Lord, that we're growing, we're learning, we're strengthening each other. I thank you, Father, for a family, for the friendships, for this ministry, Lord God, the, our churches around this world now, Father, and our ministries around the world. I thank you for them, Father. I thank you that we're all connected to one family, and that's called the family of God. And I thank you, Lord, that the church is changing, it's moving, it's growing. And I know, Lord, sometimes it seems like things don't change. But that's not because of you, Father, that's because of us. We've left behind the heart of excellence somewhere. Because I know, Lord God, as we commit to the virtue of excellence in our lives, it'll bring us joy, happiness, answers, success. And I thank you for it, Father. You have called us to be the best of the best. Because being that best brings glory and honor to your name, Father. And I thank you for it. I pray blessings upon each one in this house, each one who's watching. I ask you, Father, that there will be a stirring and an igniting in our hearts into the lifestyle of excellence, not competition, but excellence, Father. That we will be the best that you have called us to be. That even goes beyond the best of what we can be. Because we sometimes just don't think we can be all that you've called us to be. But Father, we can because you have said so. And I thank you for it. Bless each one today on this beautiful July day. We have so much to be thankful and grateful for. And in you, Father, in you, Jesus, in you, Holy Spirit, we truly, truly have purpose and destiny. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.